Speaking of computers, mine seems to not be cooperating this morning. Or it could likely be a case of operator error, as it always is in my case. Good to be back with you all, and I want to tell you, appreciate the men who have preached the last couple weeks, and appreciate the work that they have put into those lessons and the encouragement that they have been to us. Appreciate you all being here this morning and the opportunity to present another lesson from God's Word. I want to announce that next week, next Sunday morning, we're going to do another Visitor Sunday, another special lesson intended for the community. All of us, though, can benefit from the topic that we're going to be dealing with. The title is Overcoming Worry and Anxiety. So if you know of anyone that particularly can benefit from that, please invite them. And, of course, all of us, I think, can relate to some extent to that topic of how do we deal with the stresses of life. So we're going to talk about what the Bible has to say about that. This morning, though, we're going to continue in our yearly theme on growth. And I want to ask you, if I were to ask you to pick one book in the New Testament that specifically deals with the theme of growth as a Christian, growth in your faith, what book would you pick? Just one book. You might think of the book of Ephesians, maybe the book of Philippians, a very encouraging book. Probably the book that we don't have on the top of our list, though, is this book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, I want to submit to you this morning, is all about growth. So look at the end of the book, 2 Peter chapter 3, and specifically look at the last two verses. Here, Peter's going to tell us this is what this whole book has been about. Kind of summarize it in a nice way. After all of the, what I've said the three chapters before, this is what I've been really driving at. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Now, we typically think of 2 Peter as a book about false teachers. And it is about false teachers. Chapter 2 is one entire chapter describing the character and the error of these unprincipled men. But there are two other chapters in 2 Peter that deal with how do we overcome those threats? How do we deal with those imminent threats and attacks of our faith? And the answer really is we grow. The way that we overcome the attacks of our faith that the world's going to send our way, whether from the outside or whether even from inside, is we grow. He says in verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That really is the theme of 2 Peter. Peter really is telling us that the best defense is a good offense. That if you want to overcome the attacks on your faith, you go on the offensive. Not just put up your shields and say, this is wrong, I'm going to put up my shields against it, but you say, this is right, and I'm going to grow in this right way. And so what I want to do this morning is really just look at chapter 1 as kind of a snapshot of how Peter is encouraging us to grow. Because I think he gives us a lot of tools that we can use in this one chapter to help us grow in grace and knowledge. Growth is absolutely essential for us to develop and sustain a stable faith. Growth is absolutely essential for us to develop and maintain a stable and steadfast faith. And there are five words that, as I read through chapter 1, really stood out to me as these tools that Peter shares with us. Now, there's a lot we can pull out from chapter 1, but these are just five things that I think will summarize some key points that will help us grow. And the first of these is the word provision. The word provision. So look with me at verses 1 through 4. As he begins his letter, Simon says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." The first four verses point out that God has provided for us. And not just in small measures, a little bit here, a little bit there, but God has provided us with everything that we need for life and godliness. What He says there in verse 3 is the sweeping statement that emphasizes the completeness of what God has given to us. He's telling us that God has given us everything that we need to enjoy life and godliness. And I think this would include God's revelation to us. First of all, the revelation of His creation, how He made the world. Thinking of Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. When we look at the creation around us, God reveals Himself to us through the design, through the function, through the complexity of this world. But more than that, God has revealed Himself to us in a written way, not just with the things that we see, but the things that we read. Psalm 19 goes on to tell us that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 19 really is about the two revelations of God, how we see His handiwork in the created world, but we also see His perfection in the written Word of God. I think that would be included in these things that are God's provisions for us. But there are two specific things that Peter mentions in these four verses that Peter says God has provided for you. And the first of these is the knowledge of Jesus. In verse 3, He has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him. Now, when you read 2 Peter, you find that knowledge is a key theme in the book. Knowing God and knowing Christ. And this knowledge is not just an intellectual assent. It's not just knowing the information about Jesus, but it's having a relationship with God based upon that true information. Way to illustrate that is in chapter 2, when Peter is describing these false teachers, he says that they have once escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord, but then they have turned away from that, and they've turned back to the world. In verse 21, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment and handed down to them. So the question is, these false teachers, did they just remove all the information of God from their heads? No. They still probably could quote scriptures. They still knew the Bible. They still knew who Jesus was. But they had turned away from that knowledge. And so they've broken the relationship that they had with Him. So knowledge is not just knowing who He is or being able to quote memory verses. Knowledge is having a relationship with God. And so Jesus is the pathway to life and godliness. Knowing who He is, but then embracing that with open arms and living our lives upon that. But verse 4 mentions that He has also granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. Promises is also an important theme in 2 Peter. In this verse, He says that by those promises, you can escape the corruption that is in this world. You become a partaker of the divine nature. Doesn't mean that we become gods in the sense that God is God. No, nothing like that. But we enjoy His holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us to be holy as He is holy. And so it's only because of the promises of God that He has given to us that we can enjoy that promise of holiness today. In chapter 3 and verse 13, He also says that by the promise of God, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So God has given to us His provisions, of His revelation. He has given us the knowledge of Jesus, the pathway to life and godliness, and He has given us the promises. The point is,
Son loves.